This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Daniel McFarland for Mind's Eye Radio, and I will be reading for you the sports section of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as made available on stltoday.com for the date of Thursday, September 5th, 2024. This is our first headline. Weeks 1 and 2 NFL television schedule for St. Louis, written by Dan Caesar. The upcoming NFL games scheduled to be televised or streamed in St. Louis. Thursday, 7:20 p.m., Baltimore at Kansas City on KSDK Channel 5. On Friday at 7 p.m., Green Bay versus Philadelphia in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Peacock, streaming. On Sunday at noon, we have Tennessee at Chicago on KTVI Channel 2. Also at noon, we have New England at Cincinnati on KMOV Channel 4. Then at 3:25 p.m., we have Dallas at Cleveland on KTVI Channel 2. And in the evening, 7:20 p.m., L.A. Rams at Detroit on KSDK Channel 5. On Monday at 7:15 p.m., we have the New York Jets at San Francisco on KDNL Channel 30 and ESPN. On Thursday, September 12th, at 7:15 p.m., we have Buffalo at Miami, and that'll be streaming on Amazon Prime. On Sunday, September 15th, at noon, we have Indy at Green Bay on KTVI Channel 2. Also at noon, we have San Francisco at Minnesota on KMOV Channel 4. At 3:25 p.m., we have Cincinnati at Kansas City on KMOV Channel 4. At 7:20 p.m., we have Chicago at Houston on KSDK Channel 5. And then on Monday, September 16th, we have 7:15 p.m. game, Atlanta at Philadelphia on ESPN and ESPN2. Our next headline, Francis Howell North can't wait for first football game on campus since 2020, written by Steve Overby. Francis Howell North senior Sam Mahurin is ready to soak in every single minute Friday night, maybe every second as well. I can't wait. I wish the game started now, he gushed after practice Tuesday. Each step will bring a smile to the face of the Knights running back and linebacker who plans on reveling in a feeling he has never before experienced on a football field. The gutsy 5'6", 150-pounder is a four-year starter for the Knights. Yet he has never walked onto the field for a game at the sprawling Hackman Road campus, nor have his teammates. Francis Howell North, 0-1, will play his first home game in almost 4 years when it hosts St. Charles 1-0 at 7 p.m. Friday. The entire school has undergone a lengthy facelift as several bright, shiny new buildings, including a spanking new football field and gymnasium, have been built. The total reclamation began 4 years ago, and the new results are eye-popping. Mahurin wondered throughout his first three seasons if he would ever see a field he could call his own. For the past three seasons, the Knights played their home games at nearby Francis Howell Central High. Howell Central Sports sports a nice modern turf field, and the administration was more than generous to share its facilities with a school within its own district. But Mahurin just couldn't call it home. Playing every single game not at your own school was definitely weird, Mahurin said. You're just not comfortable somewhere else. Howell North coach Brett Bevel said his team felt like road warriors over the last three campaigns. The feeling you get when you walk out of your own locker room right before a game, it just wasn't there for us to enjoy, Bevel said. Running onto a field that's blue and silver, Central colors, and you're black and gold, it doesn't feel right. Howell North senior quarterback Champ Pauly said the most difficult times came during the week when the team would head to a middle school field a few blocks from the school for practice on a regular basis. The whole situation was weird, but we just all got used to it, said Pauly, who spent his first two seasons at CBC. Instead of looking back, the Knights prefer to look ahead, especially to Friday night. Mahurin said there is a buzz around campus and he expects the stands to be packed with students who have waited a long time to see their team play at home. Although quite a few members of the student body attended the home games at Howell Central, there were just as many who were unable to get transportation to the event. Now everyone can walk to the new football field with pride. I think this will get us going more as a team, Pauly said, get us more hyped. Mahurin was beginning to wonder if he would ever get to play on his campus. He said the 3 years on the road will make him appreciate this season a little more. A lot of people do take it for granted, Mahurin said. We preach overcome adversity through hard work, and not having your own field is definitely adversity. Francis Howell North Athletics Director Mike James said the players, coaches, and students have done a good job battling through the strange circumstances. He is proud of the way the entire school soldiered forward. Everyone has taken this the best way possible, and they've made it work, James said. Getting on a bus to go to every game, even though it's not that far, is still not ideal. The Knights' last home game was a 44-7 loss to Fort Zumwalt South on October 16, 2020. It has been 1,422 days since that contest. It's time to move forward, put that behind us, and concentrate on improving and being the best team we can be, Mahurin said. Howell North is 10-32 over the last four-plus seasons. His last home win was a 35-21 triumph over Fort Zumwalt South on September 13, 2019. The Knights began this season with a 57-10 loss at North Point on August 29th, but they enter this landmark game on a positive note, mainly because they finally have a field they can now call their own. Ditto for the boys' soccer team, which has played at home Thursday for the first time in 4 years. For now, the football team is ready to put its best foot forward. We almost feel like we've got to step it up, Mahurin said. Hopefully that starts with a win. Our next headline, tracking developments with Bernie Miklas, Chase Daniel, Joe Buck, City SC, and DirecTV, written by Dan Caesar. Catching up on several developments in the sportcasting scene of interest locally while Media Views was on vacation the last 2.5 weeks. Bernie's back. Longtime St. Louis sports writer and radio talk show host Bernie Miklas, who was one of the numerous casualties when KFNS 590 AM dropped its local jock talk lineup in July, has returned to one of his broadcasting roots, KMOX 1120 AM. Miklas, best known for his 26th consecutive year sports writing run at the Post-Dispatch, while also moonlighting on radio before shifting exclusively to broadcasting 9 years ago, has rejoined KMOX 1120 AM, but this time he's a contributor, not a host. I'm still in the early stages, but it feels great to be back with KMOX, he said. The station played a major role in elevating my career, and I had a chance to work with giants in the profession. I'm coming home, so to speak. The place is very dear to me. I wouldn't have enlisted with another station. It was KMOX only for me. Miklas is appearing at varying times Mondays and Fridays on The Dave Glover Show at 11:35 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays, on The Chris Runge and Amy Markscore Show, and at 11:45 a.m. Sundays, on Sports on a Sunday Morning, hosted by Tom Ackerman. And he's making occasional appearances on Sports Open Line, KMOX's early evening program on nights it does not have a live sporting event, a show he used to host. Miklas also now has a YouTube channel in which he does sports commentary and continues to be a contributor to the Scoops with DannyMac.com website run by WXOS 101.1 FM sports talk host Dan McLaughlin. Another show that was on KFNS is resurfacing, Talking Football with former Rams coach Mike Martz and recently retired Post-Dispatch sports writer Jim Thomas, who covered the team through its entire St. Louis run, is moving to Klabes Online, Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne's sports content website. A new episode is set to be posted each Friday through the NFL season. Chase Chatter. Former standout Mizzou quarterback Chase Daniel's media career continues to blossom. Daniel, who was a backup quarterback extraordinaire for six NFL teams across 14 seasons before his run ended after throwing 12 passes for the Chargers in 2022, has become a cast member of The Facility, a new show in FS1's massively retooled weekday talk show lineup. Daniel joins former NFL players Emmanuel Acho, LaShawn McCoy, and James Jones on the program that airs from 9 to 11 a.m. He also has a show on YouTube and is serving as a college football game analyst for CW Network this season, and has a twice-a-week podcast with Diana Russini for The Athletic. He previously was on NFL Network and has done podcasts with Trey Wingo and contributed to the 33rd Team website. Buck is on Rekindled Show. St. Louis and Joe Buck, who next week begins his third season as the TV play-by-play voice of Monday Night Football, the Jets versus 49ers at 7:15 p.m. on KDNL Channel 30 and ESPN, is a panelist on the debut episode of the Reincarnated Sports Reporter Show that aired on ESPN from 1988 to 2017. The first installment of the new version, anchored by Jeremy Schopp, son of Dick Schopp, the program's first host, is on ESPN's YouTube channel. It features four of the top NFL play-by-play broadcasters, Mike Tirico of NBC, Ian Eagle of CBS, and Kevin Harlan of CBS and Westwood One Sports, as well as Buck, and ties to the season's kickoff weekend. They all appear remotely on this show, which has little resemblance to the original version of Sports Reporters. That format featured sports writers, not broadcasters, discussing issues of the day, and they were in studio. Clips from this episode and future Sports Reporter segments will air periodically on other ESPN shows, including SportsCenter. So-so for soccer. City SC made a rare appearance last Sunday outside of Major League Soccer's streaming-only package on Apple TV and produced a lackluster ratings performance. The struggling team upset the Western Conference leading Los Angeles Galaxy in a game televised nationally on Fox, but just 1.5% of the St. Louis market watched the match on local affiliate KTVI Channel 2, according to viewership tracker Nielsen. That's about a third the audience size of what the Cardinals drew on Bally Sports Midwest in a game that overlapped. The soccer contest also was streamed on Apple TV, as are all MLS matches, but that company does not release viewership figures, so it is not known what the total audience was. What is known is that the team continues to draw small numbers for the few times it is seen on a conventional TV channel. City SC's appearance on Sunday was its third and final one this season on a cable or over-the-air outlet, and those were seen in an average of just 1.1% of the market. Last year, the team's four matches, including a playoff game, were at 2.1. City returns to action Saturday when it plays at New England, 6:30 p.m. St. Louis time on Apple, and its lead MLS commentator and native St. Louisan Taylor Twellman and his Think Taylor Charity are to be honored at the game. He was a standout player for New England before his career was cut short because of concussions. DirecTV hit. Customers of DirecTV have been without many Disney-owned channels, including some heavy with sports programming like ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, and SEC Network, since a contract dispute between the parties led to a blackout that began Sunday. This is the latest in a long line of such squabbles in which the company providing the programming, in this case Disney, is charging more than the distributor, in this case DirecTV, is willing to pay, among other caveats. The matter has come to a head at a key juncture on the sports calendar, the beginning of the football season, the final week of the U.S. Open tennis tournament, and the beginning of the homestretch in baseball's playoff races. It's similar to last year when a dust-up led to Disney channels being pulled from Charter, Spectrum, at the start of the football season. That situation was resolved in about 2 weeks. Now, for your convenience, here's the City SC schedule on TV and their ratings. In 2024, on April 14th, City SC played Austin, which was on KTVI Channel 2, and the ratings were 1.4. On July 20th that year, they were at Kansas City on FS1, and their rating was 0.4. On September 1st, they played the LA Galaxy on KTVI Channel 2. Their rating was 1.5, and that their average for 2024 was a rating of 1.1. But in 2023, they played May 20th against Kansas City on FS1. That was a 1.4 rating. On June 11th against the Galaxy on KTVI Channel 2, that was a 3.8 rating. On August 20th, they were playing Austin on FS1, a 1.1 rating. On October 29th, Kansas City game, which was in the playoffs on FS1, that was a 2.1 rating. Their average that year in 2023 was 2.1. Our next headline, Storm-chasing defensive tackle Christian Williams is big brother to everybody for Mizzou. This story is written by Eli Hoff. Christian Williams doesn't dress to look cool, and he certainly doesn't dress to feel cool, temperaturally speaking. The Missouri defensive tackle dresses practically, which is to say he dresses for practice, even when he doesn't need to, like wearing shoulder pads to team meetings. It's just a matter of staying ready so you don't have to get ready, Williams told the Post-Dispatch, as gearing up to dissect film or schemes is an obvious new fashion trend. It saves you time, too, Williams continued. Whenever you have your pads on in meetings and right after meetings and stuff of that nature, you can go down to the field and just talk to yourself, listen to yourself, positive self-talk, just to get in that mode before you go into practice. That's the pro. Two cons come with the defensive linemen sitting in meeting rooms that are essentially sleek lecture halls of various sizes. My shoulder pads might be in the way, Williams admitted, but it's just the fact that my shoulders are kind of big. And it feels kind of uncomfortable just because it's kind of hot. So wearing pads to meetings is not completely cool. But nobody's questioning Williams, a Mizzou captain and the lone returner from last year's defensive tackle rotation. Amid quite a bit of turnover across the Tigers' defense, which exported several players to the NFL, Williams is an important presence for the Tigers, who are riding a season-opening shutout into Saturday's game against Buffalo. It was major to get him back because you don't want to lose the whole group, right? Defensive line coach Al Davis said. The kid, he had a decision to make, to be honest with you. I do believe that Christian got here and he found something at Mizzou that he didn't have at his previous school. He did make plays. I think the kid's smart enough to know that he left some plays out there. In the offseason, the MU coaching staff made a video reel of clips showing a handful of plays they felt Williams left on the table last season, evidence they thought he still had another leap to take with Missouri. He wants to grow, Davis said. Growth is precisely why Williams' collegiate career started rather far from Mizzou. Recruiting services split over whether Williams was a 3- or 4-star prospect when he was coming out of Southwind High School in the Memphis area. He was an all-state talent during his senior season when he recorded 7 sacks, recovered 3 fumbles, and notched a 75-yard scoop and score touchdown. Mizzou, at that time coached by Barry Odom, offered Williams a scholarship. He opted to head west, playing his first 3 seasons at Oregon. The Ducks redshirted Williams as a freshman, then gave him a limited run during the pandemic-shortened 2020 season. After appearing in 14 games during the 2021 season, Williams entered the transfer portal. I just wanted to try something new, just get away from the city and grow up on my own, Williams said on a Tiger Talk radio show about picking Oregon. With that transition, I wouldn't trade it for the world because I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't make that decision. In the portal and taking his official visit to Mizzou, Williams went for a walk with MU coach Eli Drinkwitz that took them into Farrell Field, where a hype video played on the video board. I just got chills, Williams said. The moment after the video, he said, if you want to come up here and sign to ball, come do it. So he did. Williams has appeared in every game for the Tigers since transferring in ahead of the 2022 season, making 22 starts. He has 10 tackles for a loss, 3 passes defended, and 2 forced fumbles in that span. Ahead of the 2024 season, Williams slimmed down. After playing the 2022 and 2023 seasons at 314 pounds, he's listed at 295. He looks lean and mean, Davis said. Talk to Williams and it's clear he's not really mean at all. He laughs a lot sometimes at his own tendencies. Mizzou players gravitate toward their teammate with a well-known personality. Christian is one of the guys. He does everything right, said Chris McClellan, the Florida transfer who starts alongside Williams. You should always try to emulate that. MU wants Williams to be expressive. That's what Drinkwitz encouraged when he picked Williams to be one of the Tigers' 3 representatives at Southeastern Conference Media Days. Go out there, be yourself, Williams told himself at that event. Take advantage of the opportunity itself. Just be you. Go out. Have fun. Keep your head high. Be confident about what you're saying. Just the ordinary tips to be able to get me over the bump on certain things. Since then, he was voted into the captaincy, a role that seemed likely from the outside but evidently caught Williams by a little bit of surprise. I'd never seen myself being a captain or anything like that, he said. I never even thought of it as me being a captain, but more so like a big brother to everybody, just to be able to get people out of those hard times. Williams has warmed to the idea of coaching once his playing career is over, perhaps with that big brother to everybody attitude in mind. Going into coaching would require him to set aside a separate career ambition that makes the tackle stand out in the Mizzou locker room, storm chasing. It's still in motion, Williams said. I have a couple of different avenues I want to go into, but if that opportunity arises, I'm taking it. To make sure this is going into the record correctly, in case any storm chaser hiring managers are reading, Christian Williams isn't interested in the kind of meteorology work that involves new studios and green screens, but being exposed on rural highways driving after the real terrifying things? Yes, most definitely, he said. Why on earth would someone want to do that? You see, something so supernatural to the point where you want to know exactly what's going on, Williams said. You want to know how it's causing all this destruction. It's just fascinating to look at. Who doesn't want to see an F5 tornado? Touche. Point taken. If nothing else, perhaps proximity to tornadoes is why Williams transferred from Oregon to Missouri. He enjoyed watching the new Twisters film. Great movie. Got me sitting on the edge of my seat, he said, which fits his affinity for the meteorological and destructive. Finding that kind of enjoyment is a priority for Williams as he enters his final season of college football. He's aware that 2024 is the last ride. What that knowledge prompts him to do embodies Williams' approach to being a teammate and captain. I was telling myself it's the last first day, he said, after the Tigers' first day of spring practices. I started to feel like I wasn't really present. Today, I was just trying to have fun with my brothers. Our next headline, the 2024 Cardinals' top 10 underachievers from John Mozeliak to the Nolans, written by Benjamin Hockman. The fact that they're playing better lately makes it all the more maddening. They had this in them all along, but even with the Cardinals looking like the preconceived Cardinals, you know, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado actually hitting, Jordan Walker actually playing, there isn't enough calendar to catch up, and who's to say they could keep it up anyway? The Cards entered Wednesday 70-69 and 5.5 games out of the last wild card spot, with five teams vying for that one spot. How did St. Louis get to this point? Underachievement. Sure, there's been some overachievement too, notably Mason Wynn, Michael Ciani, Andre Pallante, and really even Ryan Helsley, considering he's having such a historic season. Alas, here are the top 10 underachievers in the St. Louis organization for 2024. Number 1, John Mozeliak and the front office. Look, indisputably, these are smart baseball thinkers with access to stats we've never even heard of. But it's not working. Mo and his staff aren't getting results. From 2016 to now, the Cardinals have 4 playoff wins. Not playoff series wins, game wins. And they'll likely miss the playoffs this year for the 5th time in 9 years. The Cards were terrible in 2023 and followed that with a lackluster 2024. Mozeliak, now with the title of President of Baseball Operations, got the credit for building the great teams from 2011 to 15 and should get the blame for what's happening now. And from 2011 to now, the Cards are annually around 10th on the list of Major League Baseball team spending. So the problem isn't necessarily the amount of money they're spending, but who they're spending it on. Some fans are angry, the rest are apathetic, and the visuals of the stadium are startling. The front office needs a refresh. Number 2, Nolan Arenado. He has the 3rd most singles in the National League. This distinction tells you everything you need to know about Nolan this year. The slugger is hitting, but isn't slugging. Quite simply, the Cardinals need Arenado and Goldschmidt to smash baseballs. Arenado entered Wednesday with a 7.11 on base plus slugging percentage. Number 3, Paul Goldschmidt. Yes, yes, Goldie has gotten going in his past 20 games. His OPS is 1.001 and his batting average is 342. Okay, but in his first 112 games, His OPS wasn't even above 700 at 677, and his batting average was 231. For the season, yes, his hard hit rate is still quite good, but his strikeout rate, 26.9%, is his highest since his rookie year of 2011, and his walk rate, 7.2%, has never been lower. Alec Burleson sure profiles well as the 2025 first baseman. Number 4, the three starting pitchers signed. As the Cards started the season, I described their starters as one guy who makes you say, oh, and four guys who make you say, oh. Well, even the exclamation point of the rotation has curved at times into a question mark. Sonny Gray entered Wednesday's start with a 3.96 ERA and an ERA plus of 107, his lowest mark since 2018. Gray's ERA in July and August, 10 starts, is 5.4, and that's literally the same July and August ERA of Kyle Gibson. Lance Lynn has been hurt the past month, and while Lynn's ERA is 4.06, is acceptable for a non-number one starter, he wasn't quite the innings eater St. Louis anticipated. He's only gone 6 innings or more in 6 of his 21 starts. Number 5, Nolan Gorman. How rough has the Cardinal season been? Last year's home run leader is now in the minors, yet he's only 5th on the list of underachievers. What a mess this was. I was high on Gorman, wrote he'd cracked 35 homers. He's got 19 and now plays for Memphis. He was striking out at a historic rate. No player with at least 400 plate appearances has a worse strikeout rate than Gorman at 37.6% this season. Number 6, Turner Ward and the hitting staff. The hitting coach is beloved by many players. You can see it in their interactions in the dugout. But again, just like with Mozeliak, it's about results. So many Cardinals are having down offensive years, and the strategies Ward implements for the Cards to hit with runners in scoring position do not work well. It's gobsmacking how poorly the Cardinals produce. In fact, the runners in scoring position, the Cardinals trail every team except the White Sox in homers and OPS. And the White Sox don't even really count as an MLB team. Number 7, Jordan Walker. Ward and the hitting staff couldn't unlock Walker. Jordan kept hitting ground balls, so the team sent him to the minors until recently. Yes, if the Cards had just kept playing Walker, perhaps he would have found his groove, but Walker put himself in that situation with a 155 average in his first 58 at-bats before being sent down. The Cardinals thought Walker would be a key bat in the lineup. Instead, he was that for the Memphis Redbirds. Number 8, Miles Mikolas. There are 62 MLB starting pitchers who have enough innings to qualify for statistical categories. Mikolas has the 61st best ERA. His 5.27 is only better than Patrick Corbin's 5.41. Mikolas had a 4.78 ERA last year, so it's not like we expected All-Star Mikolas in 2024, but even with the bar set low, he's underachieved. Number 9, Gary LaRocque and the player development staff. LaRocque is the longtime director of this department, and there were some great years. Heck, Mozeliak's front office and player development staff was so renowned, the author Howard Megdahl wrote a book about it in 2016. But the Cardinals currently have the 19th best farm system per MLB.com, and last year at this time it was ranked 22nd. It was glaring this summer when the Cardinals needed a starter to fill in, and there wasn't one ready in the minors. Number 10, Giovanni Gallegos. From 2019 to 23, he was a regular out of the bullpen. Yes, the Cards entered 2024 with multiple guys earmarked for high leverage situations that Gallegos would get. But still, he pitched pathetically, logging a 6.53 ERA in 20 appearances before the Cardinals let him go. He never had a walk rate higher than 2.7 per 9 innings, but this year it was 4.4. He even allowed 3 runs that didn't record an out in the May 5th game, earning the loss against the White Sox. Our next headline is from the Ascension Charity Classic. Stuart Cink hopes to build on momentum of first tour champions win. Written by Stu Durando. When Stewart Cink made the cut this year at the PGA's Valspar Championship, it marked a career accomplishment he didn't know about at the time. The 9-time winner on the tour had made the cut for the 500th time, becoming only the 8th player to do so. Many legends of the game have not hit that mark. But what did it mean as a piece of his nearly 3 decades on the tour? "I've forgotten about 80% of those," he said Thursday at Norwood Hills Country Club. "I didn't know, and when someone mentioned it, I thought, that's pretty significant. A lot of guys consider it a feather in their cap when they get to 500 starts. To make 500 cuts, I guess, is something I'm proud of. But I don't really think of golf as a cumulative thing. It starts over every tournament." For Cink, 51, that will be Friday at the Ascension Charity Classic, which will be his 11th PGA Tour Champions event. A bigger highlight for him in 2024 was winning the Ally Challenge 2 weeks ago for his first on the tour. If nothing else, the 500 cuts accomplishment speaks to Cink's longevity, durability, and consistency. Now he's trying to establish those same traits among the 50-plus set. He no longer has to worry about making the cut. The PGA Tour Champions doesn't have them. He has finished third twice, in the top 5 4 times, and in the top 10 in 8 of 10 events. Now that Cink has a win, he hopes to add to that category. There's definitely a bit more confidence and belief because you were recently given the confirmation that you must be doing something pretty decent, he said. But at the same time, there's also a natural urge to back yourself up. We're going to take the last tournament and learn what we can. It didn't go perfect. We'll keep building on that. The goal is to give no one a chance to win except yourself. Cink almost did just that 2 weeks ago, taking a comfortable lead into the final round and then tying the tournament record low score. He has split time this year between the PGA Tour and PGA Tour Champions. His plate will remain full after this weekend with his role as an assistant captain for the President's Cup at the Royal Montreal Golf Club the last week of September. The last time Cink played in St. Louis was in the PGA Championship at Belle Reve in 2018. He called it his most intense fan experience outside of a Ryder Cup or President's Cup. Cink has been reunited with many players he saw regularly over the years on the PGA Tour. There also have been frustrations. He was in position to win in Tucson, Arizona, but stumbled down the stretch with a triple bogey that proved painful. "The most challenging thing has been dealing with the expectations as a rookie and the youngest guy," Cink said. "There are high expectations. It's just not easy. I had a couple chances to win. Tucson hurt, and I've been open about that and the displeasure going through it. It meant a lot to play well last tournament and not feel like I was cruising, but have a fairly substantial win." This week's field includes 7 of the top 10 in the Schwab Cup standings and players who have won 220 PGA tournaments, including 19 senior major championship winners. Ernie Els was the last player to win back-to-back tournaments earlier this year. Els leads the Schwab Cup standings, but is not in this weekend's field, having withdrawn. Cink played Norwood Hills for the first time Thursday in a practice round ahead of the start of the 54-hole tournament. "I think it's fabulous," he said. "It's a good driving course. There's some rough out there. There's a lot of pitch on the greens. It's not necessarily back to front, but some right to left and some pitch away. It's just a really good test. It's an old style course. I love the way the holes are on top of ridges or in valleys with a lot of ups and downs. It has a cool rhythmic feel to it." And that concludes St. Louis Sports for today, Thursday, September 5th, 2024. Again, my name is Daniel McFarland, and it has been my pleasure reading for you. Until next time, goodbye.